as they explain these things to her. Okay, now we come to the fourth way, right? Now, at times it seems to be, you know, as it goes on here, being more brief, you know, and maybe taking things, it doesn't unfold as much as you might unfold elsewhere. The fourth way is taken from the grades which are found in things. For there is found in things something more and less good, something more and less true, right? Something more and less noble or excellent, and so on. And thus about other things of this what sort. Huh? Okay. Now these, those first two, bonum and verum, are what we call transcendentals, right? Which you could also call the what? You know, the most universal, right? Okay. Now maybe, huh? Maybe he means to emphasize those ones, huh? Okay, what he's going to say about them. But more and less are said of diverse things, according as they approach in diverse ways to something that is what? Most of all so. Just as that is more hot, which more approaches what is most of all hot. Huh? Okay? Now, let's just kind of stop in that for a moment before we go on here. Suppose you're in the room with the fireplace there and logs or something going on in that fireplace, right? And as you approach the fireplace, right, things get warmer and warmer, right? Mm. And what would you say about the fire there, right? That's the warmest in the room, right, huh? Okay. But there's another aspect about this thing, huh? And that is that what is the warmest here is also the cause of the others being warm, right? So there's an aspect of cause and effect here as well, right? Although Thomas is not so much emphasizing that, huh? But there's he's going to state it later on here, that what is most of all in some genus, right, is the cause of all the rest, huh? Okay, so there is that aspect here. There is, therefore, he says, something most true, an optimum, now that's the what, superlative of bonum, right? Mm-hmm. Something most noble, right? There was no Democrat that Thomas, huh? And consequently, what? Most being, right? Okay. Now, I was talking before about the definition of what? Reason, right? And how reason is defined by Shakespeare as the ability for large discourse, looking before and after, right? And so he completes the definition of reason by its looking before and after, right? But as I was explaining earlier today, before reason can see a before and after, it's got to see some distinction, huh? Okay. Now, what are the first distinctions? Would you say that the distinction between a dog and a cat, and the distinction between an animal and a plant, is there some order between those two distinctions? Okay, what is the order? Because order means before and after. What's the order between those two distinctions? Yeah, but I mean, order means before and after. So what's the order between those two distinctions? Does one of them come before the other? And if so, which one?
Animal, plant, first plant.
Yeah, yeah. It might make sense to distinguish between an animal and a plant, and then distinguish between
these two animals.
These two, right? Yeah. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. Distinction between moral virtue and intellectual virtue. And distinction between justice and courage. Makes sense that Aristotle distinguishes between moral virtue and intellectual virtue at the end of book one of the Nicomachean Ethics, right? But it's not until the next book that he distinguishes between justice and fortitude and temperance and so on, right? Mm-hmm. And then, likewise, you know, he distinguishes between art and foresight and reasoned out knowledge and wisdom and so on, right? In the sixth book, which distinction of what? The virtues of reason, right? Okay. So the distinction of the general is before the distinction of the particular, right? Mm-hmm. So, according to that, then the distinction of the most universals would come first, right? Okay. And Thomas say, one very famous text there, often referred to, in question 1, article 1, of the disputed questions on truth and goodness, as I had, Thomas, following Avicenna, right, distinguishes the most universals. And he distinguishes 6 of them, following our friend Avicenna. Though we find out later on that Avicenna doesn't fully understand all of them. But anyway, he is following Avicenna in his metaphysics, right? And many places Thomas will come back. We'll see some of them here when he talks about God being good, right? Because that's going to be one of the most universals. Mm-hmm. He talks about God being one, right? He'll stop and say some things about those, huh? I don't want to get too much into it right now. But he distinguishes 6, and they all follow upon 1, the first one, which is being, right? Okay? And some of them follow upon being in itself, and some of being in comparison to something else. Okay? That's kind of the fundamental distinction that Thomas gives following the great Avicenna. So, following upon being in itself, he distinguishes affirmative and negative. Now, the only thing affirmative that every being has is what it is. Okay? And so, the word res in Latin, or the word thing, or even maybe the word something to some extent, signifies what? Yeah, okay. Now, it's kind of interesting because if you ask the average person, and maybe I ask you too this, is the existence of a cat and what a cat is the same thing? And is the question, does a cat exist, and what a cat is, the same question? Okay. So to some extent, even in daily life, right, we make some distinction between the existence of a cat and what a cat is. Huh? Okay. But in a way, we could say for a cat to be is to be a cat, right? They're very close, right? So these are the first 2 most universals, huh? Being and thing, right? Now, let me ask you the next question. What's the opposite of being?
Non-being.
Non-being, right? Okay. What's the opposite of